Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 190. In the news, there may be a few new podcasts coming out soon which are somewhat Masonic in nature. I am not involved at all, but within the community, there are some cool things going on, and I just wanted to let you know to keep your eye out for them. If I get an okay from these guys running these possible new shows, I will let you know all about them. Secondly, the Valley of Chicago Dyslexia Center Walk is almost upon us, guys. If you're a member of the Valley of Chicago, this is your personal charity. I can't stress it enough. It's only $20 to walk. There will be the Shriner cars, clowns, food, fun for the whole family. It's going to be a great time, and we need your help. If you live in the area, sign up to walk. If you don't live in the area, or you just can't walk, then please consider donating a few dollars to the walk. You can visit www.walkfordyslexiachicago.org for more details. And I just want to say that the Valley of Chicago Scottish Rite thanks you in advance. Boy, we had some fire on the Midnight Freemasons page recently. First, I wrote about a local clandestine Masonic problem. Then we lightened it up a bit with a great piece by Brother Stephen Harrison. And then Brother Shimeon tore into the international Masons. It caused a stir, as you could imagine. And then just a few short days ago, we celebrated the 3-year anniversary of the Midnight Freemasons in a piece by Brother Todd E. Creason. And he wrote a great bit about our history, and he said some rather nice things about me in the article, and I'd like to just take the opportunity to say thank you to him for believing in what we do and for being the original Midnight Freemason, and thank you to all of you who continue to spread those articles and to use us in your Masonic research. We really do appreciate it. And also, Brother Greg Knott, the first Midnight Freemason contributor outside of Todd, they linked his first article ever, and it was pretty awesome. And if you guys haven't, you should check it out. It's about the Titanic. Many thanks to all the people pre-ordering the lapel pins for the WCY podcast. I just received word from Matt, the guy in charge of the manufacturing of these pins, and they are all well underway in production, and I should expect delivery around May 7th. I was a little disappointed that they were coming later than sooner, but all is well. As soon as I have them in hand, they will go out ASAP. I already have everyone who has ordered an envelope made out for them ready to go, so I'm just going to drop your pin in, we'll seal them up, and we'll get them out to you as soon as possible. So thank you so very much for those. In addition, 3 other items are going to be coming out with those lapel pins. They will be extremely limited to 25 apiece. Pictures of those items, once I receive them, will go up, and hopefully we can sell out of them rather quickly. If you can't wait for a WCY lapel pin, for $5, I'll send you a button pin. And I send out orders every Monday, so you should get it rather quickly. We had a great show on the Masonic Roundtable last week. The fellows talked about Royal Arch Masonry. It was awesome. I wanted to mention that I do have copies of Tales from the Craft by illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison on the WCY store. They are $18 and ship anywhere in the continental United States, and for $25, I will ship them anywhere in the world. So, check it out. Masonic Radio Theater News. I am stitching together audio right now as you're listening to this for the next episode. It's called All Points Bulletin. It's another slight detective story, and I think you really will enjoy it. I asked you guys last week about Young Masons Clubs and to send me some information in an email if you know anything about them and if you had one, or perhaps you just wanted to share. And I did receive a great email from Brother Todd Paterick. So Brother Todd Paterick sent me the following email message after he had sent an email directly to the Adair Club, the club we talked about a few episodes ago, about a Young Masons Club in the UK. He says, "Good morning, brother. I couldn't wait for a reply, so I sent them a Facebook message." He's referring to the Adair Club. "The exchange is pasted below. I found out a few things since then. In his district, Todd's, there is one lodge who has a fellow craft club that does some of these exact same things, and they have members from several blue lodges in the area, including him now. They host events like a bar takeover for one day a year to serve drinks with profits and tips going to the charities, poker tournaments, pool tournaments, and other fun stuff. It looks like they incorporate fundraising with fun activities, not just dinners. They also have a very active Facebook group where a brother will post things like, 'Hey, I'm going to a free concert downtown, who wants to go?' and several will join in carpool. I think the Adair Club is active in many parts of our country, but just not organized. It might be a good idea to get a national group started, not to govern, but to unite. I know Masonry should already do this, but the formality is intimidating. Having a national or international Young Freemasons, or more accurately, New Freemasons Club, can help bridge the gap of the newly initiated with a seasoned but not yet salty Mason. The idea for a national international club is to allow members of each individual lodge to get ideas of these things to do, pass along experiences, or aid in the brothers traveling. I keep thinking that Masonry should already do this, but even for me, 2 years into it, I'm hesitant to reach out too much in fear that I'm doing something wrong. These are my thoughts, at least most of them. So, Todd, great email. I think you're on point with most of this. And many Masons, I myself included, as a 2-year Mason back in the day, I didn't know what I could and couldn't do. And most of us don't. We don't actively tell these members these things. We don't say, hey, no, you can't meet up with like 20 young Masons and go to dinner. But we can. And so here is the original exchange from the Adair Club and Todd. So Todd sent them a message and he basically said, hey, what's going on? And they said, hi, Todd. Sorry for the delay. They've had a lot of inquiries like his resulting from the recent article that was in Freemasonry Today, the UK Masonry magazine. He said, which is great, but it has added somewhat to their workload. His advice would be 1, to work out our target audience and tailor our approach accordingly. 2, launch or raise a profile with all media available. So that means Facebook, Twitter, direct snail mail, email, articles, websites, etc. And notice that he didn't leave out snail mail, regular old paper mail. 3, utilize the experience and support of the executive members / grandmaster of our administrative area. So this would be like our district deputies or our district inspectors. They will most likely be able to provide helpful data like identify a target member. 4, make personal approaches. People always respond better to an enthusiastic face than an email. And 5, finally, keep at it. Masonry has lots of potential and great future. As Edison said, 5% inspiration, 95% perspiration. I wish you well in your endeavors. Sam. So Todd basically said, hey, it looks simple enough. Let's see what we can do. So take this information, guys, and maybe we can help build some of these small clubs around the country. And if you have anything to add, please shoot me an email. We can talk about it on the show and see what's going on. This week, after the next paper that we're going to read, we're going to go into the esoteric side, so stay tuned for some extra light after this paper. This week, the paper, I had been reading a lot about lodges and their officers, specifically the differences, pros and cons of having a progressive line. That is, if you vote for your officers with multiple people looking to get the same chair, or if you simply progress to the next chair. How do you guys feel about it? Let me know on the Facebook page under the question. In somewhat keeping on that topic, the paper this week is called Selecting a Line Officer, and it's by Charles S. Anthony, Past Master, Paul Revere Lodge, number 321 in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. These remarks will follow the established pattern of what, how, who, and why. It is impractical and unreasonable to expect that anyone can make a justifiable appointment in the line without first considering and satisfying these questions. We must all agree that capable appointments are one of the basic responsibilities accepted by lodge masters. Let us first consider what. The charge and responsibilities contained in the installation ceremony for each line officer and those responsibilities specifically designed, defined by stations and places in the ritual of the several degrees, are the foundation of our analysis of what each officer must do. Yet, brethren, these in themselves are completely inadequate to describe the responsibilities, or the what, of the officers today. These must be expanded and detailed to include all responsibilities in keeping with lodge practice and organization. Officer responsibilities can be conveniently classified in 3 groups: ritual, fraternal, administrative. Ritual specific responsibilities include the lectures, schools of instruction, attendance, participation, degree rehearsals. Fraternal is welfare, relief, charity, Masonic home, funeral services. Administrative, petition, investigation, cost control, committees, program and social, Grand Lodge, planning and organizing. Each of you can add many more activities in each group in which your line officer must take either the lead or an active part. Brethren, the what must be answered by a complete and detailed organization of responsibilities for each officer equal to the level of his office. We must know what before we can be sure. The master-elect would do the lodge a grave injustice in making a line appointment without a specific organization plan, responsibilities, and even more so, would do a greater injustice to the man of his choice in not laying before him complete details of the load he will assume if he accepts the appointment. The uninformed man will accept because of the honor associated with the title of master. The informed man will accept because of the challenge of the responsibilities and a real desire to serve the lodge. Now the how of evaluating for the appointment. The element of evaluation suggested here are based upon the assumptions that the appointed officer will eventually be elected as master of his lodge and must be considered in that light. They are acceptability, leadership, organization and planning, responsibility and judgment as related to people. Acceptability is defined as the ability to get along with others and maintain their respect and confidence. This is the ability to establish a constructive contact with people and to elicit a ready response and desire to cooperate. The quality of making people feel that he is always thinking, speaking, and acting in their best interests. The quality which results in the inclination on the part of others to want him included in any plans, activities, opinions, etc. Leadership is defined as inspiring others to a greater unity of purpose. Leadership is the ability to inspire teamwork with a high degree of moral and direct it toward an objective. The ability to get others to do willingly what is to be done. Leadership evidences itself in many ways by the frequency with which the leader originates or facilitates new ideas and practices, by the degree he encourages a pleasant group atmosphere, reduces conflicts between members by the limited amount of domination in restricting the behavior of the individuals or the group in acting, decision-making, or expression of opinion, and by his recognition and representation of the group. Organization and planning is defined as the ability to arrange for the accomplishment of a project or program in an orderly and efficient manner. The ability to properly delegate responsibility. This also requires the proper selection and development of people who will assume the responsibilities delegated. The planning portion of the element involves the ability to look ahead and foresee the requirement of his responsibilities. Responsibility is defined as the willingness to assume and consciously discharge the obligations of an officer. It requires that an individual have a realistic appreciation of his obligations. It considers the manner in which he assumes and carries out these obligations. Judgment as related to people. This is the ability to accurately evaluate the performance of others. The ability to select the right people when delegating authority and responsibility to make maximum use of their talents, qualifications, and abilities. We can anticipate your question on these suggested elements because each implies proof through performance. Your question, how do we evaluate a new man for the line by these elements with the limited knowledge of the band being considered? It has been standard practice for the master-elect to make public the appointment to the line prior to his installation, which is the only practical thing to do. Technically, he announces his new appointment after he has been installed as master. Neither of these in themselves are satisfactory in a dynamic and organized line of officers. Certainly, the elected line of officers should be aware of the new choice as soon as the senior warden's decision is made, and, just as important, all line officers should have some input on all candidates being considered, even though it is not their decision. The answer to your question will be the consideration of the third fact, who? And we offer another question for your consideration. As master-elect, what appointment is your first and certainly your most critical to make? Obviously, it is the SD, the senior deacon. From there, you must progress downward according to your rank until one officer's place is not filled. Granted that selection of one of the craft to the lowest place in the line by the elements of evaluation suggested would be difficult but not impossible. The other appointments must be made in order to rank according to these elements, equivalent standards, and only after a complete and thorough evaluation. Let's take a look at the last factor, how the progression of appointed officers through the several places is not usually required in the Grand Lodge Constitution or regulations or any lodge bylaw. It has been established through practice. Precedent is more difficult to change than written regulations. Let's face one fact squarely. In this progression system, the most important officers are filled by appointments previously made by masters who are now years removed from the active line work. We have all experienced or witnessed the results of a poor choice progressing through the line. These remarks have been directed toward a suggested method to implement the progression system and eliminate the problems, headaches, and worries that are natural result of selecting a man for the line. This can be simply done by adding two very important factors to the responsibilities of the elected officers. They are training and appraisal. We have yet to see any definite plan or program that provides for specific instruction and training of the appointed officers. Even more disappointing is the absence of any appraisal plan to measure the performance. The training program should be as specific as our present educational system, tailored to fit the progression and experience level of each officer. If we will recognize that we can only learn by doing, our program will be developed on the precept of guided experience. Training programs should include ritual delivery, expression, meaning, etc., not only accuracy, attendance at schools of instruction, etc. Lodge bylaws, grand lodge constitutions, regulations, etc. Investigating petitions, how, purpose of question, committee activities, secretary's job, reports and forms, treasurer's job, investments, controls, etc. Visitations, instructive reading, attendance at grand lodge, annual communications, and area conferences. There are many others that should be added to this list in keeping with the individual lodge practice. And finally, we come to the most important phrase of officer development, performance appraisal. We are not speaking of the general run-of-the-mill corrections or suggestions that are offered when necessary and are most often received with resentment. A true appraisal requires a complete evaluation of the performance of pre-assigned tasks in accordance with the responsibilities laid down in the organizational plan. Even this will not be adequate unless the results are discussed completely and open-mindedly with the other officers being appraised. The appraisal should include the elements previously discussed, soundness of decisions, constructive ideas, is he self-starting, mental alertness, attitude, interest, participation, personality, disposition, tact, appearance, and overall proficiency. From a frank and complete discussion of the appraisal in the appraiser, we'll be able to determine the training or experience required by the officer and can set his program accordingly. The appraised will recognize and appreciate those areas in which he must concentrate more effort to attain the level of growth required as he progresses from year to year. With a sound, well-developed, and complete organization of responsibilities and an effective training and appraisal plan, we can guarantee our lodge's exceptional officers by the quote-unquote new appointment, however selected, will respond with vigor to the task he has accepted. All right, so that's quite a bit of information that you can use to possibly fill your line and make correct decisions when it's time to put somebody in a position in the lodge where they may have a great deal of responsibility. Some of the information I found to be a little bit dry. However, it gives quite a bit of good food for thought. Many lodges don't have the luxury of being able to do these kind of appraisals and analysis of people when they need a line officer. Many lodges have to recycle past masters. Many lodges have to rely on brand new candidates coming in 1 year, being a warden that same year. Right after they've been raised a Master Mason, now they're junior warden or senior warden. And as unacceptable as I find that, it may be necessary for that lodge to survive. Next, I want to ask you to support the show. Now, we do have a few different ways to do that. Currently, the app is on the Podcast Source, which is formerly the Podcast Box application. And if you have Podcast Box already, it has updated and it is now the Podcast Source. So check that out there. If you can, just visit our website, wcypodcast.com, and check the links for the three different applications. We have them for Android, Apple, and Windows Phone. What they allow you to do is to download the show and you can save it for later, listen to it in airplane mode if, say, you're on a flight. It also comes with the papers that we read on the show. So if there's something that interests you and you want to read it in your educational part of your lodge meeting, you can just pop open your phone, look at that paper, and read it right there. All of that right in the palm of your hand. It's pretty cool. In addition to that, we try to provide you with a weekly Masonic wallpaper for your mobile device. You can do some shopping at either onnit.com, freemasonryart.com, or freemasontees.com. If you go to any one of those exceptional sites, you can use the coupon code WCY at checkout and you will get 10% off your order, and a little bit comes back to this show to help keep those lights on. You can also go ahead and pick up a button pin for $5, or you can pre-order our lapel pin for $12. $10 is for the item, $2 is for shipping. They will be shipping as soon as I get them, right around May 7th. PayPal direct donations. Now, this is the most popular way to donate to the show. Whether you donate a dollar or two, it just goes right into the operating costs of this program, and it helps to keep all of the previous 189 episodes up for all time. So anybody can start from episode one and come all the way to where we are now. So please check out those options. And thanks again for being a producer of Whence Came You. Next, we're going to go right into the esoteric portion of the show. This week's paper is called The Theology of Arithmetic, and it's been compiled by Lehrman T. Wallace II. The Theology of Arithmetic as a very interesting science I came across a while back that caused me to relook at how I read the Bible and any other sacred texts. It was amazing how the stories interlapped, but provided more personal insight when numerology was applied. It was as if they attempted to shorten the words written by using numbers allegorically, a message within a message, if you will. So what does this all have to do with Freemasonry, you might ask? Numerology is the theology, the study of the nature of God and religious belief of arithmetic. Let's take the biblical numerology of the 100 sheep parable within Luke 15 and Matthew 18, for example. The frequent use of the word shepherd to indicate a spiritual overseer is familiar to Bible readers and appears in several passages. We still use the term pastor. Literally, a shepherd, leader in temporal affairs, were also called shepherds. Again, a few citations, Genesis 47:17, for example. Quote, sheep without a shepherd, typified individuals or nations who had forgotten the one true God. Numbers 27:17, 1 Kings 22:17, 2 Chronicles 18:16, and on and on. Jesus is spoken of as the good shepherd, chief shepherd, a great shepherd, the one shepherd. Several citations are listed. As for the term sheep, God's people are the quote-unquote sheep of his pasture. Psalm 79:13, 95:7, 103. In sinning, they become like lost sheep. Isaiah 53:6. Ezekiel 34:6, Luke 15:3. The number 100 spiritually alludes to individualizing the part of the whole, which is itself only the part of the greater totality. It is the part of the part, the microcosm of the macrocosm. It is the symbolism of the martyrdom to be done by oneself. The number 99 spiritually alludes to a realized perfection state, the pure spirit of divine nature and of man. The number 1 spiritually alludes to the perfect unity of the Holy Trinity. In sum, the numerology of this parable, when applied to us spiritually, tells us that our soul, individuality or overseer of our body, beastly nature, has taken on its spiritual oversight, the shepherd of our passions, the beastly nature, by realizing its individuality is part of a whole, the 100 sheep. However, it realizes it cannot be whole because it can only awaken its divine nature, the seed of Matthew 14, the stone of Ram, and nourish it to grow through spiritual studies and practices, the 99 sheep. Nevertheless, no matter how much personal work is done, the one sheep must be sought and enjoined in order for perfect unity with the Holy Trinity to occur. Many thanks to Brother Lehrman T. Wallace for submitting that for the show this week. I do appreciate it. If you have any questions, please hit me up on the Facebook page and I can get you in contact with this brother and you guys can talk about it even further. So thanks again. We'll move right along into the famous Freemason Alfred S. Alschuler, 1876 to 1940, architect. He was born in Chicago November 2nd, 1876. He was a graduate of Armour Institute of Technology and studied at Art Institute of Chicago. He designed the following Chicago buildings: the London Guarantee and Accident, Westminster, Cunard, John R. Thompson, John Saxton Utilities, Lake Michigan Mercantile Exchange, Adams Franklin and Garment Center Buildings, plans of E.J. Brack and Son, Chicago Mail Order, Sinai Temple, and Isaiah Temple. Status was a Freemason, according to BCY Freemasonry British Columbia's website. And that's it for this week. We will wrap it up by saying, find us on Facebook. Check us out on Google Plus at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter @WentzKMU. Don't forget about the Midnight Freemasons 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We just put up a great post by Brother James E. Fry, which is The Occult Lodge Part 2. So to go check out Part 1 and Part 2. It'll be a running series for a little while, and I think you will enjoy it, especially you esoteric brothers out there. Don't forget about the Masonic Roundtable. Coming up this week, we're going to talk about Enlightenment period philosophy. So more esotericism for you guys. You can take it either way you like. You can look at it as philosophy or esoteric philosophy. Either way, I think you will really enjoy that program. Tuesday night, 10, 9 central, and check out Brother Steve Harrison's book, Tales from the Craft. I have copies. Again, if you'd like a copy of that book, please check us out on WCYpodcast.com. You can click the link for the limited edition shop, and you can grab that book for just $18, the same price Amazon, but you'll get it from a brother. And that's it, guys. So stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.